everybody. My name is Matt, and this is episode number 75 of the Nintendo Fever podcast. Yes, Nintendo Fever, where we talk about all sorts of Nintendo-type things. No wrestling in this podcast at all. All Nintendo-related. And joining me for this 75th episode, it's been over a year and some change, and it's just been a great time. And Holly, you've been there the whole time. How are you doing this week?
Oh, I'm doing spectacular. How are you, Matt?
I'm excited for episode number 75. We're 25 away from 100, obviously. We got a giveaway for this one. We got a mailbag episode as well. We're going to talk about some, like, basically what happened with you over the past couple of weeks, because we haven't heard from you for a little while, Holly.
Yeah, it's been at least 2 or 3 weeks, I feel like. And or maybe I'm just imagining it.
And we're hoping that we can get your impressions from stuff that's already happened in the world of Nintendo as well. So we have a pretty full show, but there is one small thing that I would like to address before we get too far into the podcast, if that's all right with you, Holly.
Oh, go ahead.
I want to talk about Marks and Smarks. I know a couple of you guys may have heard it. It's a wrestling-based podcast that I do with a guy. His Twitter symbol is @NukeTheBridge. His name is Ben. Me and him do this very minute, we've done 2 episodes so far. They've shown up on the feed in the iTunes because we were doing some cross-promotion with him and his podcast as well. And I just wanted to let you guys know that you don't have to worry about it too much, because we're not going to do a ton of those wrestling-based episodes here on the Nintendo Fever stream unless they have something relating to Nintendo, which we are planning on doing, like a kind of like how you have done those Fire Emblem episodes and Mike has done those Monster Hunter episodes before. Mm-hmm. We're also going to plan on doing a wrestling Nintendo video games episode as well. That way it fits into the theme of Nintendo, obviously. But we did do these two things called Marks and Smarks, and they were based around kind of what was going on in the world of wrestling around that time period. But we are going to try and move that to something a little bit separate from the Nintendo Fever podcast. But just for the future, if you read the title of one of the episodes, like, no offense, but when I read the title says Fire Emblem, I usually don't listen to it, or I'm not like, it's not like my most priority to listen to it. I'll give it a shot for a little while, but when, you know, I'm not hugely invested into the game, so it's not something that I immediately need to focus on as much. So if you ever see, yeah, like in the podcast feed it says like Marks and Smarks, just don't download that episode, because it will be a wrestling based episode, just so you guys know in the future. But the Nintendo Fever podcast feed is mainly for Nintendo podcasts, such as what I did last week for the 3DS Direct, obviously, and then what we do every week where we talk about the news and random Nintendo wonderfulness. So just wanted to get that out on top real quick, and then we got to go into Holly, because you've been gone for too long. I mean, I think it's okay to say too long, don't you?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And I, you know, I might have been able to manage an appearance on last week's episode, but Comic-Con, Salt Lake Comic-Con, which I was able to attend, kind of wiped me out. And I kind of wanted to spend a little bit of time with my family before the long weekend ended. So that's what I was doing, was hanging out with my family at a family camp out.
I think we can forgive you for hanging out with your family and also going to Salt Lake Comic-Con, which is not the largest of all the Comic-Cons, obviously, but it's pretty big, right?
Yeah, it was quite big. So I just briefly, I want to talk a little bit about my experience at Salt Lake Comic-Con. First of all, I got a multi-pass. So there's 3 days of Salt Lake Comic-Con, and a multi-pass basically lets you get in all 3 days. I got it through my job, which was a stroke of luck. I mean, I wasn't really planning on going, but this, you know, came by and I couldn't really pass it up, obviously. So I got a multi-pass.
So if
I become, as a library employee.
If I become a librarian, you're telling me I might be able to go to a Comic-Con?
Maybe a librarian in Utah, because it was the Utah State Library or something like that. Like, some employee up there was like, here, we're giving out some Comic-Con tickets. We also got several Thursday passes. So the thing started on Thursday, the first of this month. And they sent us just single day passes for Thursday, like 10 of them, to give away to just regular library patrons. And then soon after that, they're all like, here's some multi-passes for the actual librarians, because we love you.
Awesome. That is really, yeah, really cool.
Yeah, they said it was, you know, a way that we could interact in a different way with our regular library patrons, because, you know, comic books, graphic novels, comic book heroes and things like that, they are, relatively, I guess, associated with librarians and libraries. So,
well, just for the simple fact that you can, I know that certain libraries, I don't know if your guys is, for instance, they don't usually carry single issue comics, but they will carry trades and paperbacks of like the multiple issues and volumes, and also graphic novels and stuff like that. Does your library carry any comic book related stuff?
Comic book, I think we had comic books coming in like a subscription service for Marvel comic books for a little while, but we don't have that anymore. But we do have a pretty good graphic novel section, so it totally counts.
I'm going to recommend some graphic novels for you now, Holly.
Feel free. I was able to go to Comic-Con thanks to my job, so that was a really, really nice thing. So here's kind of how the summary of how Comic-Con went for me. So the first day of Comic-Con was Thursday, September 1st, and the first thing that I wanted to do that day was kind of the kickoff, you could say, for Comic-Con, and that was a Mark Hamill panel.
Wow.
So Mark Hamill, who plays Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, was at Salt Lake Comic Con this year.
And the Joker in the animated series of Batman.
Right. And you can actually, if you search Salt Lake Comic Con on YouTube, you can find the Salt Lake Comic Con YouTube channel. And they've got quite a few videos, like recap videos and a little recap of Mark Hamill's panel as well, which was really cool. So you can go check that out and kind of see what this experience was like. So it took place in the Vivint Arena, which is where the Utah Jazz kind of make their home for playing basketball and things like that. Home court. So that's where it was, so that all the rabid fans could fit inside the panel. The pomp and circumstance, it was great. I was actually on the balcony level, the second level of the Vivint Arena, so I was pretty far away from the panel. I guess you could say I saw Mark Hamill. He was down there. I saw him flesh and blood, you know, figure down there from where I was sitting. So that was a really cool experience. The panel itself was also very excellent. After that, he was followed by William Shatner. So do you know who that is, Matt?
I have no idea who you are
darn
talking
it.
About.
William Shatner. Okay, so, and it's kind of cool that we're kind of in the midst of the big 50th anniversary of Star Trek celebration, because William Shatner was the first Captain Kirk.
Yeah,
on Star Trek.
I was totally joking. I was trying to do my best Captain Kirk impersonation, but it did not go over very well. Obviously,
well, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not a huge Star Trek person. My mom is. She was really excited about that. But I know William Shatner actually mostly from Miss Congeniality, which is a fantastic movie, by the way. So I got to attend his panel, which was also very good. And then I actually went to the Salt Palace Convention Center, which is where Comic-Con was basically held. So after eating lunch, I went there anyway. So I was with a buddy for the first day, and we ended up just kind of wandering around the convention floor for quite a few hours. And it was mostly vendors. Like, there was stuff like crazy to buy. And that kind of brings me just real quick to my recent swag that I have to talk about, because most of what I bought from Comic-Con was Nintendo related. So first day of Comic-Con, I ended up buying a Super Nintendo. I couldn't pass it up. I have wanted a Super Nintendo for quite some time now. And that actually kind of completes my collection of Nintendo home consoles. I have every one of those now. So that's pretty exciting. Got a Super Nintendo. After which I actually ordered a Super Nintendo game on eBay, because, you know, obviously you kind of want something to play on your new console. And that game is X-Men Mutant Apocalypse.
That's a good
just
one.
Just kind of a beat-em-up game from Capcom. And I wanted it because obviously you can't download that on Virtual Console. And so it's a huge, huge part of my, or huge favorite of mine, I guess you could say. I only remember pretending to be sick to skip school once in my life, and it was to play that game.
Wow.
Kind of, yeah, I know, totally random, but playing it again was a complete nostalgia trip, of course. But it kind of backfired on me, because my mom told me, like, okay, if you're too sick to go to school, then you're too sick to play video games. So I was like, darn it. And that's probably why I never faked sick to miss school again. So it was Super Nintendo, X-Men Mutant Apocalypse on Super Nintendo. I got a backpack that has a cool Zelda look to it, so that was pretty cool. I also got some gifts for my siblings and niece. So for a brother of mine who likes Pokemon, I got a Team Instinct t-shirt. For my sister who likes Animal Crossing, I got her a little Isabelle from Animal Crossing plush. And then I also got a plastic diamond sword from Minecraft for my niece who really likes Minecraft. So that, I think, pretty much covers all of the neat kind of stuff that I bought at Comic-Con, though.
I got a question for you. Did Nintendo have much of a presence at this Comic-Con? I know at like San Diego and New York Comic-Con, they usually have like a lounge area for Nintendo stuff going on. Mm-hmm. But did they have anything at the Salt Lake City one?
Nothing that's actually sponsored by Nintendo, but there was a gaming lounge with the two Wii U games that were being played there. And I didn't participate in this. I was kind of overwhelmed by the whole thing. I've never been to a convention before, but they did have a gaming lounge where Super Smash Bros. And Pokken Tournament, or Pokken, yeah, that's what?
Yeah, Pokken. It's Pokken. Pokken?
Is it called Pokken Tournament? Like, is tournament in the title?
Holly, I always turn to you when it comes to pronunciation or anything like that. So we're going to say
yes.
That's
so weird. That's so weird that I can't remember. But those games were being played, as well as Halo and Overwatch and things like that. I didn't participate in it, sadly, but I did get a lot of street passes. That was super fun.
Oh,
and
man,
it's really cool that the weekend of Comic-Con, Nintendo actually released some new street pass games, two of which you could choose one to get for free.
I got the slot car racers. Which one did you choose?
I.
Okay. And
I love it. It's amazing.
With that update, you could also get more than 10 street passes at a time. So how many, do you remember how many street passes you recorded?
Well, you've got to like buy the upgrade to the Mii Plaza.
Right. Which I don't want to do, right? Like, that's kind of no, right?
Well, at first it wasn't something that I really wanted to do because, you know, it gives you like the VIP area where you can put your favorite Mii characters. It records birthdays, so you can basically, quote unquote, collect birthdays from the Mii characters that you meet. But with this update that allows you to stack basically 100 street passes, I actually decided to go for that because I was at Comic-Con and I was like, I need all the street passes I can get. Bring them on.
If I ever go to like one of these conventions, like I've gone on trips and I've taken my 3DS like in a bag with me to like a park or a zoo in like bigger cities, and like there are times when I get to that 10 limit that I would like to get more. So I feel like the next time I go to like a big event, I'm probably gonna like just say, oh, I might as well go ahead and do it. Do you have a lot of the mini the Mii games, the Street Plaza games?
Well, the entire first batch of new games that were introduced, which included like that Ghost Mansion one and the Warrior's Way one, the kind of spaceship shooter one, the flower one also, that was kind of the first wave. I just decided to get all of those. The second wave, I didn't get a single one. I'm not even sure what's in second wave. And this newest wave, I think, is basically the third wave of these. And I haven't purchased any of those either. I got the free one, obviously, the slot car one. But
which is pretty good, right? Pretty nice mechanic.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
Where you just have to hold down the A button, let go of it on the corner, and then hit it again. Pretty fun. And also a lot of fun to play against people that you pass. I did quite enjoy that. Street Pass games are actually really cool. I just wish, I don't know, like, we're going to get talking about it in a little bit about the iPhone stuff, but anything else about the Comic-Con?
Well, during Comic-Con, I ended up spending way too much money, I think, because during Comic-Con, I actually found out that tickets were on sale for the Symphony of the Goddesses, which is coming back to Salt Lake City in December. So it's taken a while for the tickets to come on sale, but I noticed that they were, so I bought three of them, quite pricey, so you could almost count that as recent swag as well. I'm going back to the Symphony of the Goddesses, which should be fun. I'm a very emotional person, weirdly, and just being at Comic-Con was very emotional. So on the second day, basically all I did was attend another panel with Ivana Lynch, who plays Luna Lovegood in the Harry Potter movies, which was awesome. I realized partway through that panel, like, Luna Lovegood's like one of my favorite characters. Why would I not, you know, try to... I guess meet her, if you will. So I actually ended up buying a photo op ticket, and on the third day, basically all I did was wait in line for over an hour, I would say, to get a photo with the actress who plays Luna Lovegood in Harry Potter.
My daughter would be very jealous.
So overwhelmed. So yeah,
she loves Luna Lovegood as well.
Really?
Oh yeah.
She's an awesome character. So yeah, the interaction, I mean, it was really brief. I noticed when I was getting closer to the front of the line that they were really trying to push people through as quickly as possible through those photo op
moments. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I kind of walk up to her. She looks at me and says hello. I say hi. We get our picture taken. She said thank you as I left. She was a very polite person. So that's kind of cool. But that's pretty much it. And after that, I left Comic-Con on the last day, and I wasn't going back. So that was pretty much my Comic-Con experience. Like I said, I got a lot of street passes, but I never did really go participate in Super Smash Bros. And Pokken tournament things that were going on in the gaming lounge, unfortunately.
That would have been really cool to participate in a big tournament like that with so many people from a lot of different areas. I mean, I know it's Salt Lake City Comic-Con, obviously, but like there's people from the, you know, from my area down here in Idaho that go up there,
sure,
that I know about.
I met a couple of them in line for the photo op, actually, a couple of younger girls, actually, who were kind of by themselves in the line. So, but they said they were from Idaho. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. So...
Very, very cool. Well, that's awesome. I'm glad that you got to go. One of these years, I definitely want to go to the Salt Lake City Comic Con. I say that all the time, but one of these times I'm definitely going to make my way down there just because I think I would have a blast, and I would love to try and find some deals for recent swag and stuff like that, obviously, because that's what I try to do. I try to find the best deal possible. But yeah,
moving... tons of stuff for sale. It was quite crazy, but yeah, good time.
Moving on from the Salt Lake Comic Con experience of Holly's there. That's why she's been gone for 2 weeks. Comic Con sucked her away for two whole weeks. And wouldn't you know it, that during the time you were gone, one of the biggest announcements probably in the history of Nintendo happened. I think this is a larger announcement than Miitomo in a lot of respects, just because, one, it's a key franchise, and two, it is exclusive for a set amount of time. And of course, I'm talking about Mario Run for the iPhone. It happened on the iPhone keynote event that happens during WWDC, which is like the Worldwide Developers Conference for Apple product type baloney. I don't know. It's something that happens every year where they talk about the new updates. Obviously, there's going to be an iPhone 7 coming out. And one of the things that they actually not only talked about, but Miyamoto himself came on stage with Bill Trennan and announced Mario Run, which is a endless runner Mario game, which I know a lot of people have been asking for a very long time, and we're finally going to get it. It's just shocking that it's going to be exclusive to Apple products, at least for the rest of 2016. And then,
do you think that it'll ever come to Android? Because that's what a lot of people are. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I'm absolutely positive.
I hope that's the case.
Yeah, I'm positive it'll come to Android. They talked about it coming first to iPhone. They never said only iPhone or this will ever see Apple products. It said this is going to be first on iOS.
That's a relief.
I don't
want to miss it. I don't want to buy an iPhone, sadly.
I don't either. I'm pretty annoyed that I'm going to be waiting a long time to play it, even though I got plenty of people who have iPhones, so I'm going to definitely try it. But did you see the video of them announcing it or any footage of the game so far?
I've seen some footage. It looks kind of basic, I guess. I'm not sure. I don't play a lot of mobile games, so I don't know. But I have seen a little bit of that footage of actual gameplay. I never saw like the announcement or the conference or anything, though.
The announcement is crazy because it's just I can't remember the guy.
Well, if Miyamoto came, that's pretty.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it was bizarre because he's just like, oh, and we're talking about all of our wonderful applications, and we have somebody new who's joining the App Store as well. And it, you know, he leaves the stage, and all of a sudden you just hear like, "Let's go!" And you see Mario running and jumping over hills and everything. And you're just like, "Oh my gosh!" Obviously, I didn't realize what kind of game it was going to be at first. And the fact that it's an endless runner shows what mobile is to the extent of what, you know what I mean? Like, it's nothing exciting, but it is something that I want to experience. It's just really big news, and obviously it made Nintendo's stock jump tremendous for that first day, and they've held semi-strong, not as strong as what it got up to, obviously. But it is a positive sign that people are interested in this type of stuff. We also got confirmation that we will be seeing, I believe they said, Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem before the first quarter of the fiscal 2017. So that means we'll see it before March of 2017, because that's when the first quarter starts over for Nintendo's fiscal season. And that will be coming to both devices. So we got to wait probably another couple months. We're probably going to wait one more month before we hear anything about NX. We're kind of in limbo in a lot of ways. Obviously, we got that really good Nintendo 3DS Direct, which was way better than I expected it to be. Did you watch the Direct, Holly?
Yeah, I did. I was a bit distracted during it because I was just getting ready to go to day one of Comic-Con when it aired, but
do you remember anything you want to mention from it that left an impression on you at all?
Well, I actually really, I know a lot of people who own Wii U's and 3DS's probably are thinking like, why are we getting these Wii U games on 3DS? I'm not going to buy them, but I probably will. I'd love to play Yoshi's Woolly World on the go, and I'd love to try Super Mario Maker on the go. Super
Mario Maker, I'm not really down on, but you really want to watch you really want to play a downgraded Yoshi's Woolly World on your 3DS? Like, here's the thing: Yoshi's Woolly World is a great game. It really is a lot of fun, but it's not challenging, and it's nothing that demands anything from you. So one of the benefits of playing it on an HD console is its gorgeous visuals. And if you lose part of that, I feel like you're getting a really dumbed down experience. I mean, they're not even adding anything exciting. They're like, oh, we got these Poochie levels, which are basically a mobile game inside of your 3DS game. Like, that's, I don't know.
Well, they've got the stop animation shorts that are going to be included.
Oh,
that's
a
pretty
buy.
Good bonus to me. Oh yeah, must buy, purely for those. I just love having games that I love on the go. So that's kind of why I'm excited about it.
Understandable.
So, let's see, what was it? The new Pikmin, which we're going to be talking about one of our listener mailbag questions, actually. A bit of a disappointment. It kind of makes me think, and this is a really harsh comparison, actually, because this game didn't get very good reviews, but it almost makes me think of Chibi Robo Ziplash. Mostly just in terms of, like, Nintendo, why do you have to turn everything into a side-scroller? Just because that's your area of expertise doesn't mean that everything needs to be a side-scroller. And I feel like some of the Pikmin magic, which Pikmin magic means exploring this kind of weird perspective on like an almost like post-apocalyptic Earth, I feel like, is where Pikmin takes place. I'm not sure about the lore too much, but it's a 3D space and, you know, exploring and discovering things. That seems to be the appeal of Pikmin, and I feel like you won't be able to get that in a side-scroller. I mean, obviously, I'll reserve judgment until after I've played it, and I'm going to buy it probably day one. I love Pikmin.
It's pretty
disappointing to me.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of the footage they showed off for it either, because it was so early footage looking that it just kind of looked, I don't know, early, I guess, is the only way to really put it. Like, it just looked really, really early. Other notable games that I'm excited for: Ever Oasis, I think, had a really good showing once again. I'm excited for that game.
Yeah, I'm getting more and more excited about it the more I see of it, so I'll probably be picking it up.
Even Dragon Quest VII and Dragon Quest VIII, really cool to hear more information about that. It was cool to hear the information about Pokemon Sun and Moon. It was a very good Direct overall. I mean, they had a lot of stuff.
Yeah, not bad at all.
Much bigger than I thought it was going to be. I thought maybe 15 minutes tops. So it was nice that it was double the length than I expected it to be.
Yeah. Well, you know, it wasn't mind-blowing, probably mostly because I am starting to feel like this really almost nervous anticipation for the NX reveal. I'm all like, okay, forget about 3DS. Forget about Wii U ports onto the 3DS. I want my NX, man. I want it.
I think this kind of says a lot of stuff because they didn't say anything. It's worrisome that it may be even more delayed than expected. Maybe we won't see it in March of 2017, which would be very disheartening. But they didn't say anything.
To have a sinking feeling that Nintendo, when they finally do say something about the NX, they're going to be like, sorry, but we're delaying it. And it's going to be like, oh my gosh. I just think at this point that would be a very bad thing for Nintendo to have to go through.
And the only reason why I kind of feel this way is because they have 3DS games leading into 2017. It seems odd that they would want to kind of take a bite out of their own sales if the NX seems to be what it seems to be pointing to, which is a handheld and a home console. It seems bizarre. They're like, hey, we're going to release these 3DS games that may not be compatible with the NX, unless it is, which who knows, because they haven't said anything. As of right now, it just feels very much everything is up in the air. But
I know, yeah.
Moving on from the 3DS Direct, if you want to hear my thoughts about that, obviously, please tune into last week's episode because I go over the entire Direct with Holly, right? You were there, weren't you, with me talking about the...
Oh, no,
you weren't.
Nope.
You were.
Although you did, like, for once, I actually, without being asked, listened to a lot of your solo episode. I ended up missing the last few minutes because my cell phone connection crapped out or something. I don't know what happened. But I just wanted to quickly let you know some brief thoughts on Skyward Sword, especially I mean, you mentioned that.
I did, yes.
Specifically.
Wow, you did listen to it. That was pretty far in there.
I did. Aren't you proud?
I am.
Skyward Sword, which I actually have begun to replay lately, and it's not because it was released on Virtual Console. I just have had a hankering to play Skyward Sword for a very long time now. So just really brief thoughts on Skyward Sword for me. Personally, I love it. I think it is a gorgeous game. It's a world that I feel like I could just spend forever in, and so I love just wandering around it. I think the design, the dungeon design, the bosses, even the gameplay with the motion controls is just spot on, if you ask me. I mean, some people, I guess, don't have a very good time with the motion controls, but I feel like there are things in place to kind of get you back on track where you need to be in terms of the controls. It's as simple as pointing to the center of the TV screen and just hitting the down direction on the D-pad. So personally, I adore this game. I think it has some of the most well-designed dungeons in the entire Zelda series. The fact that, like, the environments that you traverse before you get into dungeons, they feel like they're almost dungeons in and of themselves. I think that is fantastic. So I love it, personally, Skyward Sword. And even as I have replayed it, I still just love it quite a bit.
Well, do you think $20 is a fair asking price for the
virtual
console?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, originally it was $50. Which, of course, since it's an older game, you don't want to, you know, put it out there for $50. But I'd say 20 is a pretty dang good deal if you like your Zelda.
All right. Well, thank you for those little brief words, because, yes, I did ask about that. But moving away from all that stuff, we are going to be talking about our big 75 blowout episode, which is all questions all the time. And we even had a video game to give away for this. We were giving away Swords and Soldiers 2 for the Wii U eShop. We're giving that away because we want to say thank you to all you wonderful fans and listeners of the show. We already drew the name for it. This is based on somebody who asked a question prior to this episode in particular. But as we said, if you sent in a question, then you were a part of the drawing for Swords and Soldiers 2 for the Wii U eShop. And the winner of that is Jason. I know Jason, so I'll be contacting him, making sure that he can pick up the code. But to everybody that did ask a question and is a part of this, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, and I'm sure Holly's too, because without you guys, we would not be doing Nintendo Fever. When we made it that one-year anniversary show, that was pretty awesome, and now I'm looking at 75 and obviously looking forward to episode 100 and trying to figure out what fun stuff we can do. You know, hopefully we can. It's been a long time since we've done an interview on this show. I'd love to do another interview, so hopefully we can get some fun stuff planned up here real soon, but let's go ahead and ask some questions from the listeners, and I'll have you, Holly, read the first one.
Okay, this comes from @NindyCH on Twitter. I'm not sure exactly how that's meant to be pronounced, but he asks, what do you expect from Pikmin 4?
Oh, boy. Well,
so we should expect a
3DS video game.
Yeah, this was obviously asked before Pikmin 4 was actually revealed. And before it was revealed for 3DS, you know, obviously most people were thinking like, oh, it's going to come to NX. But all of our expectations ended up shattered. So as far as what we have actually been shown of Pikmin 4, I'm expecting... Well, for one thing, Matt, I don't think... I don't think that the graphics are as bad as you clearly thought that they were.
I think you need to rewatch that trailer. It doesn't look bad. The problem is they just look very early. I'm sure it is early in all respects to it, obviously. But I just felt like it looked barren and empty. And I think you're correct when you said that part of the wonderful thing about Pikmin is the fact that when you play it, you're exploring this 3D space and environment, and everything looks post-apocalyptic, and you're going on an adventure. I don't think you're going to get that same sort of feeling and emotion from playing it on the 3DS. I don't think that's even close to being possible.
Yeah, I still think that's true, but I think it could be a pretty good game in its own right if Nintendo delivers on the promise that it's going to be like a, you know, puzzle heavy kind of game, not necessarily just a straight up platformer. Thank heavens it's not a straight up platformer. So I have fairly high hopes. Again, I'm probably going to get it right off the bat. But I'm just, you know, I'm expecting to be a little disappointed in terms of, you know, the calling cards of the series being exploration and discovery. I don't think that they can really put that in a side scroller, and so I'll be disappointed in that way is what I'm expecting. But other than that, I think that it shows a fair amount of promise for what it is.
Well, I think it will be fun. I'm actually disappointed that it's not going to be an NX game and it's just going to be a 3DS game, just because, as we said before, it kind of looks like maybe the NX may be a little bit more delayed than we thought. Like, why else put a big franchise like this onto a dying console? But as some people have pointed out, there's no Kirby game announced. And until there is a Kirby game announced, I guess that means that the system is still going to be alive for a while. I don't know. Somebody made that joke that Kirby always ends a console. So, I don't know. We did have that Kirby Robobots, though. So, maybe that was like a pre-ending.
Well, we've had two Kirby games, original Kirby games, on the 3DS.
We had two original on the 3DS? We had Kirby's Robobots
well,
and then...
Triple Deluxe.
Triple Deluxe, that's right. So we have had two. I guess we're waiting for that one that's kind of like a crazy Kirby game, because when there's a crazy Kirby game, such as, I guess, Mass Attack, wasn't that the last one on the 3D, the DS?
The DS? I believe so.
Yeah, I think.
Although I don't know, there's a crazy Kirby game on Wii U, and that they came out quite a while ago. So, but I'm excited to get to that comment and question that we have from Cody. But for now, our next question from Gentis.
Yes, is what is your backlog?
Did you want to? You can read that.
Yeah, I think we can kind of swap here and there. What is your backlog game you're mad at yourself for not playing yet? Mine is Mutant Muds Super Challenge. And Gentis, I can tell you, don't be mad at yourself, because when you start to play it, then you'll be mad at the game. I did the review of the game. It's a very good game. There's nothing against it in any way, but it is a very hard game. The game that I'm mad at myself about when it comes to the backlog would probably have to be Bayonetta 2. Which is funny, because my younger brother is actually staying with me for a little while, and he started playing through Bayonetta 2, and I'm just like, gosh, why haven't I started playing that game? I know I told myself that I need to, like, beat Bayonetta 1. I'm pretty far into Bayonetta 1. I need to just put Bayonetta 1 down, because that's another backlog game that who knows when I'll get back to it. But I need to just play Bayonetta 2 already, because it's been sitting in my backlog for way too long at this point.
Well, I actually didn't give this question too much thought up until now, so I'm kind of desperately looking around at my game collection, what I can see of it from where I'm sitting, trying to think of something. And something that actually comes to mind right off the bat, actually, is Metroid Prime 3. I beat Metroid Prime 1, through the trilogy version, so with Wii point controls and everything like that. And then I played probably 10 to 15 hours of number 2. I didn't beat it. It's sometimes known as possibly the weakest of the three. I don't know. It probably depends on who you are. But yeah, I didn't end up beating it because it started feeling a little bit draining to play it. Like, literally, because there is a dark world version of the world in that game type thing where Samus's health literally is drained if you're in that world and not in a safe zone. And so that kind of, and then you get lost and it's like, I don't want to traverse through this like super hostile environment, you know, for hours on end, trying to figure out where to go next. So I didn't really get very close to beating that game, I don't think. But Metroid Prime 3 is often considered one of possibly the best of the three. And so that's just really sad to me that, like, I kind of would like to try to beat 2 if I could before I start 3. But that's kind of the sad thing, is that I'm behind this barrier of trying to get through number 2 that is keeping me from playing number 3, which is considered to be possibly better. Again, it depends on who you are, but yeah, that's a game that I just saw in my collection where I was thinking, I really would love to finally get there and get over there and play Metroid Prime 2, finish that one, and then start 3.
We definitely all have those games in our backlog. Like, I can look at a bunch of stuff that I have purchased recently, as you know, for my collecting sake, that I say, like, oh, I'm gonna buy this, I'm gonna play it. Like, even today I found a game for real cheap. I got Wario Land 4 for the Game Boy Advance. I'm like, oh, I'm going to totally buy this and put it in my collection. I'll probably never play that. Like, my collection is my backlog, where I buy all these older retro games or just classic games or just games that I have a lot of nostalgia for. And a lot of times, sadly, I don't spend a lot of time playing them. I mean, we all have games like that.
We all have
that. They just go directly to our backlog, basically.
Yeah, I could probably find like 5, 6, maybe even a dozen or so more backlog games that I could answer this question with, but I'll stick with Metroid Prime 3 for now.
Good idea. And we'll move on to the next question,
which is kind of lengthy, but I'll read it. It's from Denvi. I really wanted, like, I put his entire basically email that he sent to us here because I kind of like the comments that he makes. So get ready for this. Denvi says, I would like to hear your take on the NX's version of Breath of the Wild. Many people are anticipating it to be a highly superior version compared to the Wii U edition. I'm not so sure myself. If the rumors are true and the NX is basically a higher-powered handheld, do you think there will be that much of a difference? Aonuma has stated that the NX version will have, quote-unquote, different visuals. Do you believe he intended to tell us that they would be better graphics or simply different visuals altogether, similar to how Smash Bros. For 3DS had due to technical limitations and that just worked better for the system? Regardless, I will probably pick up the Wii U version no matter what. It might be a collector's item someday.
Is that a shot at me?
And that's the end. That's the end.
Denvi, is that a
shot
at me?
No, I just think it's a shot at the Wii U more than anything, I feel like. Yeah, I love that. I love that last comment, though, Denvi. So thanks so much for the email. So let's talk about this, I guess.
I know. Where do we want to start, I guess? Do we think that it's going to be a highly superior version compared to the Wii U edition? That is the key phrase here, I think. Is anything going to be a highly superior version to its Wii U counterpart? Obviously, there's not a lot of games that we know about that there's going to be a Wii U version and an NX version. This is the only game that I can think of. I don't even think the next Just Dance game is coming to the Wii U. It is coming to the NX. I'm just saying that in the sense that I don't know of any more games that are Wii U and NX. So do I think it's going to be a highly superior version? I think it's going to be a superior version, but I don't know about highly. I think it will be different. I think different in a lot of positive ways. It's so hard to tell because from the rumors, just like he said, if they are believed and it's just going to be a high-powered handheld, this will be the greatest-looking handheld video game ever made. Yes. Does that make it highly superior to the Wii U version? That's the tough part. What do you think?
Yeah, because we have no idea what the specs are for the NX, obviously. Gosh, I'm kind of with you where there's just no telling. It could be the case that all the rumors are completely false, and the NX is a more traditional home console, not even a hybrid. I don't know. At this point, I feel like the odds that it is is going to be a hybrid handheld and home console that you can dock onto your TV, I think that's actually fairly likely. But who knows? Maybe all the rumors are just garbage, complete garbage, and the NX is just going to be a really traditional, really high-powered console. It's really hard to tell. Although I didn't know. So Denvi says that Aonuma has stated that the NX version will have different visuals.
I don't remember him saying that either, but I mean, I do remember him talking about the two consoles having different things going on. So it wouldn't surprise me if he did say that and I just missed it. I do like how he brings that up just because Smash Brothers for the 3DS, obviously, it was the same game in a lot of respects. It just had different visuals because it had to be downgraded a little bit. Now, do we think that the NX version will be a downgrade of the Wii U edition? That's the scary thing. I don't mean that as in like I'm keeping myself up at night, but it is also semi-scary in the sense of like, hey, why are you selling us a less, I don't know, just a weaker version of this on a newer console? It seems like a very odd proposition. So I'd like to say that it will be superior and it will be stronger. I think we may be a little bit surprised by finding out the NX, though it will be a high-powered handheld. It will also be a little bit more powerful to the Wii U in general. So I think that will be a positive thing. I think it's possible, if it is a hybrid, like I also believe it is going to be. I don't know for sure, but I do believe it's going to be a hybrid.
Nobody knows for sure. Ooh.
Well, you know, I got an uncle that works at Nintendo. I'll just ask him.
Okay.
But I do think that there's the possibility of putting the game onto the Wii U or onto the NX home console, and you get a more high-powerful version of it. And then if you do take it on the go with a hybrid of some sort, then it's going to be a less powerful, more of that 3DS realm of technical limitations to it. That would be my only guess.
Let's hope it's not 3DS.
Not 3DS,
level,
but
or nobody's going to buy it.
The handheld version of the NX, whatever that is going to be, if it is a hybrid like we're thinking it's going to
be. Well, it better be a lot more powerful than the 3DS if people are going to take it seriously.
Well, I think it will. I do think it will, but I think that you'll get
HD
more power.
HD at the very least.
I think you'll get more power from the home console, and no, I don't think the handheld will be HD. They can save a lot of money by keeping it standard. You got to remember that the screen on the Wii U gamepad is also standard. And if you play high resolution games on it, it still looks fine. So HD is not all it's cracked up to be, but it is important that the
console
itself...
Well, everyone thinks that it is.
True,
that's the problem.
True, but the majority of people also don't know that the gamepad is not an HD display. They just assume that because it looks so beautiful, it must be an HD display. So... I like I said, I don't think that will be the most important part of the handheld. It will probably be SD, and the way that they'll get around that is just by not saying it is SD or HD. It'll just look really pretty, so it won't matter.
Well, if Nintendo isn't talking about like power that competes with, you know, the PlayStation and Xbox, then I think that once again nobody's gonna take Nintendo seriously, which I think is kind of depressing.
Probably why they're partnering with companies like Apple. No joke. Like honestly, that is probably why they are partnering. The amount of money that they'll make off of Mario Run will help offset any terrible thing that happens with an NX in a lot of respects. Hard to say today.
I can't
but...
help but hope that the NX lives up to everybody's wildest dreams and things, though.
Well, they'll sell one to me and one to you, Holly.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. So
let's go ahead.
And I think to Denby as well. He says that I'll probably pick up the Wii U version no matter what. It might be a collector's item someday. To me, that sounds like, well, you know, I'm getting it on NX. That's the primary version of it that I'm going to play most likely. But I'll get the Wii U version, you know, just in case.
I really hope they release these two games side by side with the console and the game, you know, kind of like what they did with Twilight Princess. Because I'll probably buy it for the Wii U too for that same reason about the collector's item, but I really, really want to get it for the NX. I really want to play it for the new system. I want to play a brand new video game on a brand new system when the NX comes out, and I hope it's The Legend of Zelda.
Yeah. I pretty much agree with all that.
So let's go ahead and jump into Cody. He has quite a few questions, so we'll just take turns. It'll be kind of lightning round, I think, because we're running not long, but I don't want to go too far into it. So maybe let's, because there's so many of these, let's try to do a lightning round type situation. How about?
Yeah.
All right.
Or we could pick and choose like our favorite questions. I don't know.
Well,
my favorite question, and this is one that you can answer briefly, is okay. Mario Party. Did you get blisters?
Did you?
Yes. Yeah, yes, I did.
I did not. I didn't play a ton of Mario Party on the N64, believe it or not.
Well, you do know it, of its weird reputation, right? Where
and
some of the minigames just cause you to spin the control stick. And the way to get the most out of those minigames or to do the best was to use the palm of your hand to spin the control stick. And yes, I got blisters doing that. So
did you file a lawsuit?
That answers that question.
Did
Bam.
You file a lawsuit and get the glove?
I did not.
Oh, I wonder if that glove's worth money today. Does it have Nintendo written on the glove somewhere?
I have no idea, honestly. I totally forgot about the glove. I don't think I played the first Mario Party until kind of after the fact, actually. The earliest Mario Party experience I remember was Mario Party 2, and then I think that it wasn't until some years later that I played the original.
I like this question a whole lot. How does nostalgia play into your love of Nintendo? I think that's an important question. I know you're obviously...
It's a tough one.
It is, and I know you're a little younger than I am. I'm not like saying like, oh, you youngins don't understand nostalgia or anything like that.
I do. That's what makes me a fangirl, I feel like, is because I grew up with Nintendo, like a lot of our listeners probably did, and I... you know, all of the incredibly fond memories of playing Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, Super Mario World. Super Mario World, that game, I'm going to use these two games as a brief example for how nostalgia plays into my love of Nintendo. Super Mario World, there is no denying, you cannot play that game today and tell me that it doesn't hold up compared to platformers now. Super Mario World is one of the most well-held up, well-aged video games ever made. It is fantastic. Ocarina of Time, on the other hand, I can see myself, like, if I never played it until I was an adolescent, for example, Because I played it when I was quite young, and I pretty much was taught how to beat it. But I still have some incredibly fond memories of playing that. But if I played it later on, I'm not sure if I ever would have figured out, like, what to do. I'm not sure if I ever would have gotten out of Kokiri Forest, where you have to find your sword and buy your shield and things like that. I'm not sure if I could even have figured that out, because games have actually gotten a little bit easier. Sometimes a little too easy. That's a debate for another time. But I don't think that I would like Ocarina of Time as much without the nostalgia. So there's a lot of different dynamics that play into whether nostalgia affects my love of Nintendo. A lot of different examples.
I love Nintendo, and I love Nintendo for a lot of different reasons. One, their video games are great. Their consoles are fun. They offer something a little bit different compared to everything else. I also respect their history a lot. I respect their franchises, their IP. I hate to turn this back to, like, wrestling in a weird way, but, like, something about professional wrestling that I love, okay? I know it's a work. I know that it is a scripted sporting event. I get all that, right? But something that I really appreciate about professional wrestling is the history, the athleticism, the professionalism behind it. So, like, it allows me to, like, continually enjoy the product that I'm watching because I understand these things about it. Kind of the same thing about Nintendo. I really appreciate their history. I appreciate what they've done for the video gaming industry. I understand the positives, the negatives, the ups, the downs, all that kind of stuff. So it's not just nostalgia, but it's also that appreciation of them as a whole that I think helps keep me in entertained with Nintendo a lot. So nostalgia has a big part of it. I remember playing their games in many ways.
It does for both of us.
But it's a lot of respect for Nintendo, I think, sometimes as well. That goes into it. Is another question you want to ask or you want to answer?
I didn't have any specific other ones, so maybe we can just go back to the top of this list.
Okay.
What makes Nintendo different than any other console or gaming company?
I hear this get thrown around a lot, and I kind of like it and I dislike it all at the same time, but I'm going to use it, so I guess I must like it enough. They're a toy company. They're like Willy Wonka. They offer something different and crazy than anyone else does. And I think that's the best way for me personally to look at Nintendo is nobody else has a gamepad, right? Like, even Sony, when they try to, like, kind of, like, do something crazy, like with their touch controller on the PS4 and stuff like that, like, they don't ever go over the top, which is probably a good thing for them. I mean, looking back and seeing what Nintendo did, but, like, thank you, Nintendo, for making a Wiimote. Thank you, Nintendo, for making a gamepad. Like, that is what makes them so different than any other company, is they are a toy company at heart.
Yeah. And I was just actually thinking today, another huge thing that makes Nintendo different from the rest of the industry today, like, this is a current thing, is just, and this plays into the toy company thing, making games that are colorful and creative. And I love that about Nintendo. I was sitting down in my bedroom earlier today, just sitting, kind of staring for a little bit at my Squid Sisters amiibos, which were right there, my amiibo figures of them. And I thought, what weird character designs. Those things are just Inklings and the squid forms and everything like that. Weird character designs. So unique and original. And that's one thing that I think also makes Nintendo a bit different, is that, you know, every other dang game company that makes multi-million-dollar video game, they're making, like, hyper-realistic games. I can't even think of anything. I think Overwatch probably has a lot of style to it, right? That's pretty cool. But Nintendo is willing to take a little bit more risk, I feel like, in terms of character design and just colorful video games and everything like that. And they are making games for kids, but I think that adults can enjoy them just as much.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that. Moving on to his next question. Zelda, is it the best? I like best.
Like I think it is.
The best, like I think it is. And Cody, it is the best.
Yes.
It is the best like you think it is, but it is not the best like I think it is.
It is the best that I think it is and you think it is. So, Cody, it sounds like you're a big Zelda fan. And Zelda actually is my favorite franchise with Nintendo and video games, of course, because I mostly play Nintendo. So I say yes, Zelda is the best.
I enjoy
it. Like, we both think it is.
I enjoy Zelda quite a bit. It is a very, very well-made game, obviously. Moving on to the next question, because I like this one a lot, actually. Miitomo, yeah. Why? Is it dead? Does anyone take it seriously? So first and foremost, nobody ever took it seriously. Because
you don't think so?
No. Well, seriously, in what respect? You mean seriously is like this is a serious product made by Nintendo? Because I think people took it seriously in that respect, but I don't think they took it seriously as in a serious chattable social media type device or app in a way. It's fun to use and to do, and they've made some decent updates to it actually. But the problem is it takes too long to get into it and to interact with it in a viable way. And it will always have that same problem that every other social networking platform has, where you can post 100 things, but if nobody likes it, then you kind of feel like, well, what's the point of even doing it? Obviously, they tried to kind of to eliminate some of that by saying, like, you have to give hearts to be able to get some of your quests or your missions accomplished. But if you only need to give 10 hearts and you have 100 friends, there's always going
to
be...
You don't even need to give hearts. You just have to listen to 10 questions.
Yeah, there you go. Then there's still 90 people you didn't listen to. You know what I mean? Like, if you have 100 friends and you listen to 10, there's still 90 that you never heard. So... I think there's some good things about it. I use it, I would say, once every week, I would say. I log into it. I do it for a little while. I try to find Holly to see if she's done anything new on Miitomo most of the time.
All I do is play the Mii Drop games. That's kind of the funny thing about it is that Nintendo kind of put a bit of focus on, maybe too much focus on customization, like customizing your Mii character. So funny enough, when I get into Miitomo, and I do, I only miss a day here and there. So I'm on most days, but mostly what I do is I go in, I see if there's anything cool to win in Mii Drop games. And that's kind of it. I just like to kind of customize my character, collect all of the cool clothing items and things like that. And
yes.
See if anybody's given some of my older answers hearts, because sometimes that happens. But yeah, I don't have enough time on my hands to do everything in that game.
That is a app that is based around you giving a lot of give and feedback to be able to take part in that, that app. I mean, that is one thing that you have to do. If you want to be involved in Miitomo, you have to be involved in Miitomo. So that's kind of crazy.
I just wish more of my personal, you know, people that I have known in person, I wish more of those people were on there, because if they were, I think we'd have an absolute blast.
I also wish,
as it is though, I feel like, you know, half or more, probably more than just half actually, of my friends on Miitomo are people I've never met.
Yeah, I wish that I would have done a better job with my friends list and only put on people that I was legitimately interested in, like being a part of this Miitomo. You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm up to almost 200 friends on there or whatever it is. And, I don't need that many. nearly that many friends on Miitomo. I got so excited to have all these Miitomo friends so quickly that, like, I just added everybody that added me and stuff. And, like, the whole, like, you know this person, they know this person, do you want to add this person? I'm like, well, of course I do. And I wished I would not have done that. I wished I would have kept it I honestly I think the perfect Miitomo list of people is like 30. Like, I don't need any more than 30 people, honestly.
Yeah, all the friends and family that you can the personal in-person friends and family that you can possibly get on there. My hugest problem though is that none of my personal friends and family really got on there. I had, like, you know, a small handful of people that I know in person who were on Miitomo for a short amount of time, but that's the thing. It just didn't really gain a lot of traction with my personal group of friends and family, which I think is really sad, because I think that if you do get a good sizable group of people that you know in person on Miitomo, it could be a ton of fun.
It could be
to kind of find out interesting facts about everybody.
And just the funny voices and all that kind of stuff would have been fun.
Yeah.
But moving on, Japan. Do we love rice and sushi? I do. And does Nintendo make you want a little sushi? So we go to Twin Falls, me and my wife, every so often. There's this place called Sushi Ya, and it's an all-you-can-eat sushi bar. And when we go and we don't have my small children, because my small children love to be loud because they're children.
yes.
I love my children. But I love to go eat sushi. Does Nintendo make me want sushi? No, I just want sushi because I am. I think, therefore I am, therefore I want sushi.
Okay, my answer, I've never had sushi. I've
You've
had rice.
You've never had sushi?
Never sushi. Nope.
What?
Sushi. Okay, remind me what sushi is. I kind of get it mixed up with
sushi. Sashimi is actually the raw fish. If you like get like a piece of raw fish on top of rice, that's actually referred to as sashimi, where sushi is just any sort of sushi roll. It's a tempura is when they deep fry a item and then they put it inside of a sushi roll. But yeah, just have you ever had a California roll?
Okay. No. I don't think so.
Have you ever had any sort of fish with seaweed and rice rolled up together?
Nope.
Okay, you've never had sushi, Holly.
I don't like seafood.
I don't like seafood very much. We got to fix this, Holly. Sushi's delicious.
Okay. I'll try to fix it soon. I know that there's a place, the same place where the closest GameStop to me is at, also has a sushi place that I've heard is pretty good. So maybe I'll try going there someday and spend a ton of money on something that I'll end up hating.
No, you'll love it.
Most likely.
They have deep fried stuff too. So like if you don't really like the raw fish idea, they have cooked fish that you can make with sushi. Moving on to one more question, Kirby. Kirby. Why doesn't he get any love? Does Kirby games mean the console is dead? Actually, we kind of discussed that the 3DS has already gotten two Kirby games, and it was not towards the end of the life cycle, though a lot of times that does happen. I think we're okay with Kirby, and I love Kirby. Cursed Canvas for the DS, Kirby's Adventure for the Nintendo, Kirby's Mirror Squad or Squeak Squad for the Game Boy Advance is really good. Rainbow Curse is supposed to be really good. I never got it, but I really want it still.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind getting it if I could get it cheap. Did you ever play the Planet Robobot demo?
I didn't play the Planet Robobot. I don't know if like Kirby to me is dead a little bit, not going to lie, but that game just does not look appealing to me at all. Like it honestly feels like if I take the time to download it, I just will regret playing it afterwards. I don't know why that is.
I loved it.
I don't know why that is. Maybe I just
makes
need
me
to
want to buy the full version
and give it some love, but yeah, there's nothing about Robobots. I don't know. It's a
Robobot.
Weird, it's not Robobot.
Planet Robobot.
It's weird. I don't know what it is.
Well, you know, people were underwhelmed with Triple Deluxe, but then Planet Robobot came out, and people actually really love it. There's a lot of praise going around for that game, a lot more than Triple Deluxe got. And like I say, I played the demo, and I quite enjoyed it. It's part of the reason that I decided to go back and finally play the original Kirby's Dream Land and also Kirby's Adventure. And I'd love the full version of Planet Robobot if I had the time and the money that would justify my getting that game. I'd get it just like that. It was the demo was awesome. So
maybe I'll have to take a look into it then. And then finally, our very last question from Cody. Thank you so much for all the questions, Cody.
Yes, I love them.
If anybody wants, by the way, I maybe we don't make this very known, but like if you want to ask multiple questions inside of a single email, we're more than happy to answer more than one question from you.
Right.
Sometimes we'll hold on to a question if we need to for any reason. But hey, if you want to ask four or five questions, like I'd love to do more of these like kind of speed round, lightning round question type things. Last question from Cody, though, is Mario Brothers 3 artwork. Can you tell me why the blue and yellow box and artwork invoke a strong emotion of fun and happiness? Do you feel the same? I love that box art more than any other game. I promise you. Well, I promise that I believe you. I love Mario Brothers 3 artwork as well. I love the art of Mario Brothers 3 in general, just the whole style that they did for that game. And I think that the reason why it evokes a strong emotion of fun and happiness just goes back to that nostalgia. We remember what it felt like to play that game, and we remember what made it so fun, and just that look, the Tanuki tail on the box and stuff. Like you remember how much fun that tail was to use. And I just think that there's it's a very positive thing. There's few boxes that I think you can look at and be like, wow, that game is amazing. And Mario Brothers 3 is definitely one of those. Super Mario World, obviously. Donkey Kong, the original one, in a lot of respects. We should definitely do a best box art episode one day.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun. I'd have to do my research on box art and stuff like that. But I think there is something particularly special. Like, there is a different level, a higher level that Super Mario Brothers 3, its box art is on. Somehow, like, yes, the box art for Super Mario World, you know, creates a strong feeling of nostalgia in me, but I didn't, you know, I played Super Mario World a lot more than I played Super Mario Bros. 3, but Super Mario Bros. 3, something about those colors just puts it above and beyond just your typical box art.
I would say,
and I think that
more than any,
it is those colors.
I would say more than any other box art known to Nintendo fans, that one means Nintendo more than anything else.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's something, I don't know if it's the colors, like Cody does mention the blue and the yellow colors on the box art, and something about that just ended up putting it on a whole different plane of awesomeness. So I don't know. It's hard to pin down though exactly why there's such a nostalgia and such a respect at this point that we have for that particular box art. I love it though. Thanks again for the questions, Cody, and thanks for the phrasing of your questions. I love this phrasing. He'd be like Zelda, and then the question, or Miitomo question. I love the phrasing. So it was a very, very good email to receive. So thanks for all the questions.
And thank you everybody else that asked a question and everyone that participated with episode number 75. Thank you guys so much. 75 episodes is not a small accomplishment by any stretch. We've been here through thick and thin, Holly. There are moments of saying like, I don't know about this anymore. And you're like, I think we can do it. And I'm like, I think we can do it. And then we did it. So here we are still, episode number 75. Hopefully we got many more beautiful episodes underneath our belts and ready to come. So thank you guys so much for listening. Right. Obviously you can find, and thank you, Jason. You are the winner. I'm going to contact you and get you that code for that beautiful video game, Swords and Soldiers 2. Because it's such a good game. But yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to us for all 75 whole episodes. And if you didn't like my wrestling episodes, I'm sorry about that. We will take care of that, hopefully sooner than later. But yeah, you can find me on Twitter at OnlyMattDezen. You can find the Nintendo Fever Twitter account at Nintendo Fever. Please send us emails, podcast@NintendoFever.com. And you can find Holly on Twitter at
Holly Felmuth.
There you go.
As always.
Simple as that. Thank you guys so much for listening. It's been a blast, Holly. Do you have any good, fun, exciting plans for this weekend?
Not really. You're kind of putting me on the spot here. But yeah, I don't think I have anything going on, really.
Okay, I just didn't want to end the show just like, bye, guys. Goodbye. I thought maybe, you know, we could do like a conversation. I don't know. Anyways.
Let's see. Any good movies out? I don't know. I saw Civil War. Captain America Civil War.
I've slowly been working myself through Civil War. I need to sit down. I know it's weird. I watched it one night and I was so tired I couldn't get past the first 30 minutes. So then I turned it off and I went to bed. And then I went to that 30-minute mark and then I made it to an hour and 15 and I got so tired again. So I turned it off.
Okay,
so now
fair
I need
enough.
To finish the last hour of it. But yeah. So
I enjoyed the heck out of it. Very excellent movie. So
I'm excited. Yeah. I enjoyed what I've seen in bits and pieces so far. It's like a long TV show, basically, that I'm going through.
I kind of forgot to talk about the cosplays that I saw at Comic-Con, but that is something that I definitely will want to save for a later time because I saw some pretty awesome cosplays. But
definitely
with
that
suspense.
Yes, for sure. The cosplay suspense, it's a real thing. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys so much for participating. And we will see you guys next week. See ya.
Bye-bye.